What is the short trip and the long pull? Have you any idea? It's about psychedelic drugs. In contrast to something else, it takes a little longer. Apropos of trips. This morning I was trying to cross Fifth Avenue, and every time I tried to cross with the light, cars were turning. And that happened for two lights, and there was a man alongside of me. He was getting more angry with every light. His friend had gotten across somehow, brother, and he shouted over to him across. He said, "How did you ever get over there?" He said, "I was born here." You remember Fred Allen's story? If you've ever been to Rome, you would understand it better. But in Rome, there are about 400 churches. Traffic is terrible. Fred Allen said that they have a church on one corner in Rome into which you go to pray that you'll get across safely. They have a church on the other side. You go in to thank God that you made it. Well, this is about trips. And the basic idea is really that we have very good instincts, we mortals. And if the good ones are repressed, they come out in a curious way. But they are always present. Let's take just a few examples. What is communism? Communism is the kingdom of God secularized. Instead of the regnancy of Christ, there's the regnancy of the party. When men forgot confession of guilt and sin, instinct was still there. So we developed the psychoanalytic couch to explain away the guilt. Then the Trinity, this circumcision of life and truth and love, when men lost that concept of God, we still had to have the Trinity. And do you know what the first atomic bomb was called? It was exploded at Los Alamos? Operation Trinity. Energy. Mass, velocity. I might go on giving other examples, but suffice now to say that what are the alienated youth seeking for but mysticism? And they're trying to arrive at the ultimate, at some peace, some contact with perfect goodness and love by other means than those that are rational. So I'm going to show you the difference now between the use of psychedelic drugs and mysticism. They're somewhat the same. Same in the broad sense that mysticism is the search for God, and psychedelic is a drug as a way of escaping the earthly. Here is the first difference between the two. The psychedelic drug, and this is the way the hippies explain it, is a flight into the unconscious. Mysticism is into the conscious. First of all, it's a flight into the unconscious. We know that from all that we've read about it. Now, this cannot be a very sound basis for seeking peace. In one of the universities of this country, in the state of Missouri, Psychedelic drugs were given to 150 schizophrenic patients. It didn't help any of them. Matter of fact, three of them became worse. The man who invented the psychedelic drug, Dr. Hoffman in Switzerland, said, "I lost all concept, unconsciousness of space and time, and I went crazy." And he was out of his mind for some time. Then it's an attempt to achieve a peace and a union with the ultimate through passivity. Man never does anything when he's purely passive. He has to be active. For example, in one of the tests that was made of youth, it was said that, no, we become creative when we take this drug. Something happens to us. So they gave it to men who prided themselves on being poets, musicians, and writers. Under the influence of the drug, they were told to create. The writings, the music, poetry were given to men who knew music and prose and poetry. And they said they were unintelligible. But those who took the drug said, oh no, we felt that we were very creative. So this is no way, as you see, to ever attain the ultimate by going into the unconsciousness. We're ever to be creative, we have to be active. We have to use our senses. Now take, for example, mystics. St. Francis never lost touch with nature. He called fire, water, his brother and his sister. Teilhard de Chardin, great scientist, was written on mysticism. Kept his reason about him. We may give a telecast on it sometime so that he saw the whole universe being pervaded through and through with divine wisdom, with Christ as the beginning and Christ as the end. But it was through consciousness. The mystics have kept the universe, kept their reason, kept their senses, and looked for truth. There's no search for truth in the unconsciousness. The mystic knows very well that in order to seek truth, he has to be conscious. He knows that if he's ever to draw a real giraffe, he has to give it a long neck. If he's ever to draw a triangle, he has to give it three sides. It's the truth that makes you free. And he seeks his mysticism consciously along the lines of truth. And the universe for him is something he stays with. Doesn't get away from it. By being drugged? So that to the saint, the universe is a kind of scaffolding up through which souls climb to the kingdom of God. And when the last soul shall have climbed up there, then the scaffolding will be torn down, burnt with fervent fire. Not because it's base, but simply because it has done its work. This is the real way to achieve peace in union with the ultimate. Now there's a second difference. I don't think we're going to use our angel this particular telecast. And he's very happy about it because he's mystical himself. A second difference is that the psychedelic drug makes people not only unconscious, it also makes them anti-human. Anti-human. Now here we come to something in psychedelic drugs which is really frightening. Did you know that babies are born of psychedelic parents who have the syndrome that is known as Kriedschach. Did you know that the babies do not cry? They have the cry of cats. Cats. Is this the way to peace? Six out of eight of the psychedelics who produced children had damaged chromosomes. Now, there are three ways of damaging the chromosomes in human generation. One is by excessive use of X-rays, the other is by radiation, and the third is by psychedelic drugs. Psychedelic drugs were given to rats. The rats produced a progeny that was so horrible that the scientists couldn't believe it, and they repeated the experiments, and they produced the same horror. Babies that are born of psychedelic parents sometimes have a head very much larger on one side than another. Is this the way to peace? Is this the way to happiness? And it's anti-human from another point of view. Here's the testimony of a doctor. Dr. Sidney Cohen. Dr. Sidney Cohen says that the contents of a two-suiter piece of luggage will hold enough psychedelic drugs to disable every person in the United States. If it's used by the military, the inhabitants of the city will become so bemused that they will give themselves away to an aggressor. A saboteur could carry enough in an overcoat pocket to produce serious temporary effects on all the inhabitants of a megapolis if he could only distribute it equally. The next day, after having infected the people with psychedelic drugs, Dr. Cohen said, they would be very willing to turn themselves over to a new management. Girl here in New York, Christmas Eve party, took some DMT for the first time. Had to put her in a straitjacket. 6 months afterwards, every time she saw a camera, she thought it was an eye. It is a kind of an eye, isn't it? And her prognosis is not that she will ever become better. The anti-human is no approach. Peace. Now, what is the mystical approach? The mystical approach is ethical. Not non-ethical. Not driving people into the subconscious. Rather, it produces, the ethical produces in people a love of neighbor. And the more the mystics achieve unity with this ultimate, the more kind they are to everyone else. There's no desire, for example, to destroy a next generation. Take, for example, the Indian mystic, Dr. Singh. Dr. Singh went into Tibet, and he was with a guide going over the Himalayas. And they sat down tired and exhausted and cold. in the snow, and Dr. Singh says, I hear someone moaning down there in the crevice. And the Tibetan said, well, don't be silly. We can't help him. We're almost dead ourselves. Dr. Singh said, I'm going to do it anyway. So he dragged himself down to the crevice, found someone had fallen in. He dragged him out and dragged him to the village at the bottom of the mountain. And he became rejuvenated. That is to say, Dr. Singh, by his act of charity. He had given himself for neighbor. This was the way mysticism came out in him. Not neglecting the human, but by serving it. And what happened? When he came back, he found that his friend who was saving his life had lost it. He was frozen to death. So this is the second difference. Now we come to the third, which gives the title to this telecast. Psychedelic drugs give us the short trip to this so-called ultimate, whatever it is. And true mysticism gives us the long, hard haul and pull. That's the difference. Why is it so many youths are fond of this short trip? We live in an instant age. So few are growing up. They're possessed of infantilism. What's infantilism? Infantilism is that peculiar psychological mood that all infants have because they will not tolerate any delay between their need and their satisfaction. When a baby wants to be fed, he wants to be fed now. Right now. That's why fathers and mothers walk the floor at night. Well, some of these babies grow up. They want to be better. They want to achieve ultimate peace. Immediately. Everything today has to be instant. We got instant coffee. Take a roll age. You've been to a dinner and you've been stuffed and overstuffed eating. Instant relief. Instant relief. You're ugly and husband notices the gray hair. Your neighbors are talking about it. A little bottle. A little bottle of Freol. And instantly, oh, boys, the men are all running around you to dance. And it's all done instantaneously. Then the poor wife, the husband said, come on, dear, let's go to a dance. I can't go to a dance. I'm just dragged out. She's got exhausted blood. Lo and behold, he gives her something, and she's out to the dance and out dances them all. Immediacy is the cry of our age. And attempting to achieve wisdom, knowledge, peace, union with the ultimate by the short trip is impossible. You simply cannot put a bomb under a baby and make it a man. Why do they carry plucked flowers? Because they can't wait for them to grow. They don't know what it means to plant, to nourish, to prune. Nature isn't this way. Athletics are not this way. Musical artists are not that way. They can't take a drug and become artists overnight. It's immediacy that's ruining our age. The long haul. Oh. Goodness gracious, anybody who's trying to be good, it's a struggle. In fact, there's no such thing as always walking uphill. You go up for a time, and then you level off on a plateau, and then you run into thorns and all kinds of obstacles. Character is made of the long pull. Inside of every block of marble is a figure. Great sculptors can draw that figure out. How does the sculptor do it? Well, he first of all, with his hammer and his chisel, knocks off great, huge blocks of marble, of egotism, things that spoil the form. And then the more gentle chips, and finally the brush of a hand. Drawing out a figure so perfect, for example, that Michelangelo, when he created his Moses, looked at it. To him it was so satisfying that he struck the base of the statue of Moses and said, "Speak!" But it took the long pull for the sculptor to do that. If a violin were conscious, and the violinist began tuning the strings, tightening, 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 the strings conscious might say, "Don't do that, it hurts." Why do we have this long pull of effort? And the violinist would say, "Oh, in order that there might be the greater melody, that's the reason." On the tomb of Duns Scotus in Cologne, there's the inscription, "Bis mortuus semel sepultus." He died twice, he was buried once. Died twice, why? Because he was undergoing this long pull, process of mortification in order to achieve peace. Remember when the Greeks came to visit our blessed Lord? We do not know what they said. But I've always suspected they said, "You come to Athens. We accept wise men. We killed only one. We poisoned Socrates. We have regretted it ever since. Come to our city." And what did our Lord say? "Lest the seed falling to the ground die, will not spring forth. If it dies, it will produce fruit 100-fold. In other words, my dear Greeks, there's no shortcut to wisdom, to peace, to happiness, or anything else. There's the dying to self. There's the long pull. And that arduous haul. But during that haul, there's peace and there's joy, and life is always beautiful." The previous appearance was the long pull. This is the short trip. Bye. God love you.